Here we go, season 8, episode 43 of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, presented by Hooters. Remember, Hooters celebrates 40 years on the 4th of each month, throwback events featuring 83-cent wings and other great specials. That also includes their great daily special on drinks. Hooters went to full bar a while ago. It's not just beer anymore, it's beer, wine, and all sorts of full bar, full liquor, $6 drinks all day, every day. Visit originalhooters.com for the location nearest you in the greater Tampa Bay area. For those of you listening around the state of Florida, around the United States, and around the world, just do a quick search for the nearest Hooters location near you. I'm just looking at all the numbers I want to go over now that all the Week 10 games are in the books as we process all that to try to play better in Week 11. And I want to highlight something from one of the podcast leagues at the end of this particular podcast. Send me any of your fantasy questions via email at write.todd@yahoo.com. write.todd@yahoo.com. This may be another single podcast week as we try to gear around the number of episodes ordered. We've done this the last 2 weeks, but remember, and I'm not sure when things are going to post. They'll definitely be, actually, you know what, next week, try to give you one before Thanksgiving and then one after Thanksgiving, because there are four Thanksgiving games, if you include the new Black Friday game, which we should have had last year, but for some reason, we didn't get that game because there were concerns too many people would be watching the World Cup that day. Yeah, more people watch the Michigan-Ohio State game the next day than watch the USA World Cup game on Friday. So take the political correctness out of not criticizing soccer and just mind your business. Kind of like when football gave up on, let's not go up against the World Series, and said, yeah, we're going to go up against the World Series. And sorry, baseball, but we think we're going to do fine. So Black Friday game this year, which, by the way, you don't even need to subscribe to Amazon Prime to get it. It's my understanding the game will be free. And you're saying, oh, well, where can I watch it on TV? No, you're just going to be able to watch it via Prime. That's my understanding, that they want you to have the game for free because there's going to be so much promotion of selling stuff and Black Friday deals on Amazon Prime. That's what was announced a long time ago. Who the hell knows what's going on now? Okay, so how are you? For those of you that struggled without Eagles, Dolphins, Chiefs, trust me, I had that problem in Week 9 as I was without some key players, namely one of my teams. Just I didn't have the right options, the running back position, which, as we talked about last week, is so important. You know, Patrick Mahomes did bring something up. I believe he talked about it on the Manning Cast the other night. Tom Brady brought this up when the rule changed. All these changes in number in a split second for quarterbacks that weren't used to that, like Brady, like Mahomes, and we're talking about guys who've won 60% of the last five Super Bowls. Actually, we can take it further than that, because Brady won Super Bowl 53. Then Mahomes won Super Bowl 54. Brady won Super Bowl 55. Then neither of them win 56. And then Mahomes wins 57. So do I have this right? 53, 54, 55, 57. Because 56 was won by Stafford. Okay. So 80% of the quarterbacks who've won the last five Super Bowls have voiced concerns about the numerical change, where previous to this, defensive players, the lowest number they could wear, right? DBs were 20 through, was it 39 or was it 49? And then linebackers were 40 through 59. And then defensive linemen, I think, were 60 and up. And then suddenly the NFL said, I guess they had some focus groups or something that said, people like jerseys of numbers between 0 and 19. So why are we only letting kickers, punters, and quarterbacks wear those numbers? And remember earlier this year, Teddy Bridgewater had to wear, I think it was number 50, when he first signed with the Lions, because there were no quarterback numbers available to him at that time. So he had to technically wear an illegal number until one became available. Some in Detroit bought that jersey because it looked so odd. Bridgewater wearing that high of a number. So Brady said it a while back. Mahomes just said it the other night. In an instant, when you're scanning for a guy to throw to, the fact that defensive players are wearing lower numbers, Brady and Mahomes says it's a factor. Are they just giving excuses? Or do you think there's something to it? Because production in terms of touchdowns, scoring across the board in the NFL is down. Scoring from quarterbacks is down. So that has a ripple effect on pass catchers. And we talked about how having running backs who are productive is so important this year. I'm going to review Week 10 numbers. Dak put up 35 and change in my 21st century standard scoring settings. Keenan Allen was overall two. Typical Brandon Staley loss. Kellen Moore, Justin Herbert, Keenan Allen put up 38. You're a defensive guy. You give up 41 on your home field. That was just kind of a game that shows when it comes to playoff contention and winning playoff games, Lions, not Chargers. CeeDee Lamb, who's putting up huge numbers all of a sudden, he's getting close to that Tyreek, A.J. Brown, rare air. I mean, Keenan Allen was in the top five. I think Lamb was six, if you go per game like we did last week. So Lamb was overall three. Justin Herbert was overall four. Staley still loses that game. Brandon Cooks, welcome to the Cowboys. 9 for 173 and a touch. Only rostered in 38% of Yahoo leagues going into waivers this week. So Brandon Cooks is there for those of you who think this is a thing and that Cooks can be a legitimate number two option to Lamb on a productive Cowboy offense going forward. Joshua Dobbs, wow, quarterback three. Available going into waivers this week in 47% of Yahoo leagues. One touchdown passing, one touchdown rushing, and a win against the Saints. Jahmyr Gibbs touched the ball 17 times. Tandem offense, 108 yards, scored two touchdowns. And the Lions win against the Chargers, did a lot of damage early. Montgomery still got his. Did you hear the story on the 75-yard run? Goff calls the play. They break the huddle. Goff looks around and realizes, we don't have the right personnel to run this play. It was a passing play, but it needed two tight ends. The Lions had one tight end in the game. Instead of burning a timeout or running the play as a passing play, Goff just checks down to a running play. It's safer. And Montgomery went 75 yards and scored. Yeah. But yeah, Gibbs was RB1 last week, even with David Montgomery back. Amon-Ra, so Lion and Lion, Amon-Ra, St. Brown, right behind him. 8 catches, 156 yards, and a touchdown. So Amon-Ra was wide receiver 4. He was overall 8. Devin Singletary, 31 touches, 161 yards and a touchdown, available on 50% of rosters going forward. Texans are a pass-first offense, but they had a plan in this game against the Bengals, didn't they? There's some good things happening with the Texans. As we speak right now, by the way, go ahead and look this up. The Texans would get a wild card. They're in playoff contention. You think anyone wants to face Stroud in the playoffs? Sam Howell was next. He leads the NFL in passing yards. No, not Stroud. Howell leads the NFL in passing yards. Lost on one of the last second field goals at Seattle. Howell available in 27% of leagues. Brock Purdy was next, put up 296 and 3 touchdowns. In the rare game, Christian McCaffrey didn't score. Then Brian Robinson running the ball. He's just been very reliable this year. We talk about boring wide receiver ones like Diggs and Mike Evans. Boring. Robinson's numbers almost are RB1 worthy this year. Let's call him an RB2. Boring RB2. Run him out every week. No complaints. Brian Robinson. Geno Smith was next. That was a bounce back game for him. Mike Evans scored again. I'm just going to bring this up. This might be a separate podcast. Mike Evans now is about 7 or 8 touchdowns and maybe a 2-point conversion from becoming the Buccaneers' all-time leading scorer. And you can count on one hand how many leading scorers of NFL franchises are not kickers. I can give you 2 right off the top of my head. Jerry Rice in San Francisco and Emmitt Smith in Dallas. And I think there's maybe they're not that many more. Mike Evans is getting really close to being the Bucs' all-time leading scorer. Hockenson was after that, so much for his injury status. I whiffed on that. I replaced him with Kincaid because I was worried. Ed Werder reported Hockenson would be out there for all the key downs, so I thought Hockenson was on a pitch count. He wasn't. I love Ed Werder. And Ed Werder's Twitter is excellent. So that was my bad call. Hockenson clearly played more than Ed and others expected, and he played very well. Then Goff, then Kenneth Walker after a couple of down weeks. Although Walker's big play, it wasn't a red zone touchdown run. It was a 64-yard catch and run for a touchdown. Jamar Chase was injured, still put up big numbers, 5 for 124 and a touch. Kittle had that touchdown in single coverage where the DB fell down, 3 for 116 and 1. And then David Montgomery was all right. The 75-yard run audible helped, 12 for 116 and 1. And on Monday night, Russell Wilson continues to put up serviceable numbers, available in 54% of Yahoo leagues going into waivers this week. Threw for 193 and 2 touchdowns, ran for 30 yards on 9 attempts. Noah Brown's available in 76% of leagues. 7 catches for 172. Noah Brown available in 76% of Yahoo leagues going into waivers this week. That will change once waivers open Tuesday night into Wednesday in most leagues. Okay, just want to focus in on the podcast league. Not the League of Champions, not the Foundation on the way out. Sean Sullivan is the general manager of Bill Curry Ford. Sean has been a supporter of this podcast, a supporter of the fantasy leagues, a supporter of JoeBucksFan.com, a supporter of Ira Kaufman. And he sold me a car, the car I'm currently driving. I've been driving it for about 2 years. And Sean has come to the fantasy drafts. He has hosted fantasy drafts. And he hasn't had success in previous years in the fantasy league because he's been too attached to rookie players. And this year at the draft, not only was Sean in an amazingly good mood, he was holding court. There was something different about what he was doing and about that night. We still have 6 weeks to go in both the podcast league and the League of Champions in terms of acquiring total points. I think Sean won the league this past weekend. His team put up 133.4. And the reason why I say he won the league was not only because of a big number. Look, Mike Lentz put up a big number from Papa John's, Mike and Chuck. Ira put up a big number, nearly 100. Bengal Ralph put up over 90, benefiting from me trading him Bijan Robinson. Good for you, Bengal Ralph. It's still something I don't want to think about. But the other two guys in what's been kind of a three-man battle at the top of the podcast league for a while now, the other two guys, Andrew DeWitt, the sports betting editor of The Athletic, with a team drafted by Doc from the foundation, and Greg Barker, Greg with the hat from Todd Wright Tour. Andrew and Greg had bad weeks. Sean had an enormous week. The difference between Sean and Andrew in week 10 was almost 80 points. The difference between Sean and Greg in week 10 was over 90 points. And Andrew and Greg were top three with Sean. So Sean's lead suddenly in the podcast league is big. Andrew's the only one within 110 points. We got 6 weeks to go. Now, who's to say someone can't do to Sean what Sean just did to Greg and Andrew? It can happen. But if I was assigning futures odds right now to who wins the podcast league, Sean has just gone from, I don't know, plus 125, I think, to more like minus 250. He's clearly the guy to beat now. And one of the reasons I bring up those who play in my leagues and I talk about who's on their team. As of the end of week 10, here was who's on Sean's team. He didn't have the use of Tua. Replaced him with Sam Howell. Boom. 22 plus points. Passing yard leader in the NFL. Keenan Allen. CeeDee Lamb. Ja'Marr Chase. Yay, has all three. They combined 58. For over 76 points in my scoring settings last week, his three pass catchers. 76 out of three pass catchers. Jonathan Taylor got him in the end zone, double digits. ETN had an awful game. ETN has been his best player. His best player had an awful game, and he put up 133. Jason Myers kicked five field goals in Seattle. Yeah, Sean may have won the league this year, which means he doesn't have to pay out that league, which now puts the burden on me and some of the other owners to come up with a way to thank Sean and do something nice for him if he wins the league. We have 6 weeks to figure it out. Or Andrew or Greg or Ira or somebody has 6 weeks to figure out how to catch Sean after what he did in week 10. By the way, the guys on his bench, Tua, Aaron Jones, Rashad White, who's been putting up fantasy points the last couple of weeks, as Canales and Baker have kind of learned how to use them. Cooper Kupp, Amari Cooper, and James Conner picked up and played, and Sean beat me in picking up James Conner. I had been postponing picking up Conner, and I didn't pick him up fast enough in advance of him coming back from injury, which I just did in the foundation with Kyren Williams, grabbing him before waivers closed, since he was just sitting there, and I'll just bury him on the bench for week 11, hoping he hits the ground running in week 12, as I do continue to lead the foundation in a head-to-head format at 8-2, trying to get my name on the Jimmy McGinty trophy for the first time. We'll see. Fantasy questions, send them to write.todd@yahoo.com, write.todd@yahoo.com. This is your one fantasy football podcast for this week. We'll do two next week. One with a look at the Thanksgiving / Black Friday action, and then one looking ahead to Sunday, Monday action. The Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast is presented by Hooters. Thank you to Hooters for 7 years of being the presenting sponsor. Visit originalhooters.com for the location nearest you in the greater Tampa Bay area. Remember, they have $6 drinks all day, every day. Thanks to Hooters. Thank you for listening to the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. Good luck this week.